My oldest niece is a freshman at the University of Kentucky this fall. And so over Thanksgiving, I had the opportunity to FaceTime home and to talk with my family. And there she was visiting home, and she was just entering finals week at the time. And she's an English major. So she was telling me how thrilled she was to have to write 30 pages of papers for her finals. And my face just turned sour. Because I hate writing. I always have. I've never just loved sitting in front of a computer and seeing that blinking cursor and just rejoicing, thinking, ooh, what can I put on this page? Rather, for me, it's an opportunity for fright to say, oh, what am I going to put on this page? But for her, she'd much rather write a paper than take a test. I'm the complete opposite. I'd much rather take a test than write a paper. I'm not a huge fan of writing. And so our gospel today from the Gospel of Mark is really appealing to me. Mark is my boy because he's the shortest of the four gospels. I have to confess, last week I encouraged you to read the Gospel of Luke during Advent. This is always a good practice because it has the full story of Jesus from even before his conception until after his ascension. So we get over 33 years of Jesus's life in Luke's gospel, but he's the longest. It's the longest of the gospels by words. Mark is the shortest. And so Mark is my boy. He only spends 16 chapters, whereas Luke has 24. However, you don't get the whole story. You just have Jesus coming onto the scene as we hear in the gospel today, and we only get the last 3 years of his life. But Mark tells his story in a unique way from the other gospel writers. He's in a hurry to tell his story. That's why he's so short. He's brief. He doesn't get everything, but he hits the highlights. And in these 16 chapters, he uses the same word 34 times. Immediately. Immediately, Jesus went and healed this person. And then immediately, he went to the next town. And then immediately, he went and did this. He keeps using that word immediately. I think it tells us he's in a hurry to tell the story. He's showing Jesus' progression from those first days of his ministry all the way to his ascension 3 years later. And Mark, in this very opening line, only 13 words, including the articles, the thes and the as and the ands, he uses these 13 words to show his thesis. The whole purpose of his writing. He does it in these first 13 words. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Concise. And for modern ears, we just kind of see that as a pleasant opening. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But for an ancient audience, these words were packed. And they were even packed with controversy. They were provocative words to an ancient audience. We hear the word gospel, and maybe your first thought is gospel music. Maybe you think of that soul music from our own country. Or maybe you think of, well, what have I heard gospel to mean? Good news. That's what it means. It means good news, or it has this connection with this music. But the word gospel is provocative. The word gospel is a political term. So for Mark to start his writing here as a gospel is really thought-provoking. You see, a gospel is what someone proclaims when there's going to be a new king in town. He sends his herald to proclaim good news that you have been conquered. You have a new king. That's what Caesar did when he came into the Holy Land and he conquered. It's what other kings, Darius and Nebuchadnezzar and Alexander the Great, they sent a herald in, and that herald proclaimed their gospel, the gospel of Caesar, the gospel of Alexander. You have a new king. You've been conquered. And this is what Mark says, that this is his gospel. I think of the movie that came out some years ago now, the Avengers movie, Infinity War. I've admitted that I'm a big superheroes fan. And there's this evil overlord in that series whose name is Thanos. And when he goes and conquers a new world, he sends a herald just like this. And even in the movie, this slimy herald comes out every time he conquers and he says, "Rejoice, you have been saved by Thanos," which really meant Thanos is going to kill most of you and he's going to enslave the rest. And this is what Mark calls his account, a gospel. And then he uses different titles for Jesus, and they weren't unique titles. First, he calls Jesus Christ, and we think, oh, maybe that's just kind of like Jesus' last name, isn't it? Jesus Christ. But Christ, Christos, means Messiah, anointed one. And it was a title used by Caesar. Caesar called himself the anointed one, the chosen. Then he calls Jesus the Son of God, another title used by Caesar. Caesar, he claimed himself the Son of God, the son of a deity, and he himself a deity. And so these first 13 words are charged. They're packed with provocative sentiments. But it's what Mark uses. And then the titles that come of Jesus later in Mark's gospel and in the others, these are charged titles as well, things that we think of around Christmas time as pleasanties, but they're really charged words. King of Kings, that was a title used by Middle Eastern kings. Lord of Lords, every king considered himself a lord. The word lord, Kyrios in Greek or Dominus in Latin, that evokes domination. Dominus. A lord comes to dominate. A lord comes to conquer. And Jesus does come to dominate. He comes to conquer with his love. He comes to dominate us with his mercy. And he comes on the scene as this new king, this new prince of peace. Another title used by Caesar. Caesar, who was boastful of bringing peace as he conquered the known world, his Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. Caesar thought himself the prince of peace, yet Jesus here is shown as the true prince, the one who can bring true peace and restoration to a new kingdom. And so in the opening here of Mark's gospel, he places this new herald, John the Baptist, to proclaim the coming of the Messiah. And what does John do? He uses the words from the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah. He says, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." Isaiah would say that we need to make a highway. That's what kings did. When kings came to town, they had to lay waste mountains. They had to raise up valleys and build roads so that they could get their troops to the places that they were conquering. And this is what John tells us. Make straight the way for the Lord. Make straight a highway for our God. That there's a new king coming. And we need to prepare his way. We need to get ready for him. This is how the gospel starts. And then I was curious, well, how does it end? If Mark starts in this way, saying this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, how does he end? Does he just say, "The end, case closed, that's my book, that's my story"? Not exactly. These are the final words of Mark's gospel. After Jesus ascends into heaven at the right hand of the Father, Mark's gospel concludes with, "And they," Jesus' disciples, "went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that attended it." Amen. That ending tells me the gospel's not done. That his final words are his disciples going out, going forth, preaching everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by signs. The gospel is ongoing because Jesus' disciples are still going forth. Jesus' disciples are still preaching. That the gospel is still available today. It's not just a reality 2,000 years ago. Peter says in his epistle today, 1,000 years are like one day to the Lord, and a day like 1,000 years. So we may think, oh, this gospel was over 2,000 years ago. But Peter would say, that's like 2 days to the Lord. The gospel is available to us outside of time, outside of our limitations and temporal dimensions. The gospel is still going. It's why I start the Mass during Advent with those words, "Lord Jesus, you came to gather the nations into the peace of God's kingdom. Lord Jesus, you come in word and sacrament to strengthen us in holiness. Lord Jesus, you will come in glory with salvation for your people." The Lord came, the Lord comes, the Lord will come. And his gospel moves on. He is still reigning at the right hand of the Father. You can't say that about Caesar. You can't say that about Alexander the Great or Darius or Cyrus or Nebuchadnezzar or any of these ancient kings. Jesus Christ alone still reigns. He still dominates, and he still comes. And that's why Advent is so unique a time for us Christians as we prepare our hearts, as we get ready, as we remove obstacles and sin and things that might prevent Christ coming to us. Christ is still coming. Our Lord is still coming to conquer us with his mercy, to dominate us with his love. And so over these next 3 weeks, brothers and sisters, let's continue to prepare the way. Let's get our hearts ready to receive the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, for he comes to rule the earth.